I'm going to read, God willing, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, 14. I looked in my Bible as I was studying this verse, and I see that on December 9th, 2018, I tried to preach from this. On December the 22nd, 2017, I preached on it. I think that's a 9 or a 7. On December the 4th, 2011, I preached on it. I wasn't here that day. I was in another church. You may get from that, but I think it's a pretty important verse. It is. You may get that it's one of my favorites. It is. I hope when I say Isaiah 7:14, maybe you say, I know what that says. If you're unable to say that right now, I hope you will after today, after this morning, after about 30 minutes from now. 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. A wonderful, wonderful verse. You read it already this morning. You read it when we stood together and read our responsive reading. It was the first of a few verses that we read together. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It goes on, but that's all I'm going to read this morning, God willing. Let's pray, brethren. Father, open your word to us. Open your word, Lord, as only you can. You've birthed us again. You've given us new life. You've regenerated us. And now, Father, let it be your good pleasure to open our minds to receive this word this day. Father, come by your Holy Spirit and teach us. Make us to rejoice. Make us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're exhorted to do that in the New Testament. We want to grow, Lord, if we know our hearts. We want to learn more about you, about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, teach us in this hour so that, as a result, you would get glory and honor. We'd love you more. And that we would know more about our Savior. Let that be done, oh Lord. Let it be your will, we pray. Help me now to preach your word and help us to hear and understand. We beg in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. In that great name we pray. Amen. Oh, brethren, I love this verse. I love it. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. I know I probably have said this to you before. We're looking for signs. I have done it before myself when I'm facing a decision, facing a dilemma, facing this or that or the other. I say, God, just give me a sign. I love it. I love it when God's man, Isaiah, says, God's going to give you a sign. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. And then he describes the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Back to that in a few moments. Let me digress just a minute. Let me talk to you a little bit about some thoughts I had. I've written them down here about this season of the year. This season. Yesterday morning, Jan and I went downtown and we celebrated. It was a worthy cause, a fundraiser for some ladies in the community that help others, I'm told. And we went, not before Jan dressed me up in a red outfit with white trim and a hat. But we went for this worthy cause and maybe help to raise some money for worthy causes. And the theme was Christmas. That's the theme. And we came to help celebrate. And we're celebrating now. During these weeks of the year, we celebrate. But brethren, as last year, when I read this verse and I spoke to you, tried to preach to you, I remember saying something like this last year. It's my job to help you not forget
what this season is all about. Brother Kevin prayed this morning. He prayed already that we would not lose sight of what this season is about. There's a danger, brethren, and it's a danger to me and danger to you in forgetting what we're celebrating. Forgetting, as Brother Kevin phrased it, something like the real reason for this celebration. We hear that term, the reason for the season. It's used so much, almost it has lost its meaning, but we keep saying it to try to remind ourselves and one another what we're celebrating. In this case, who we're celebrating and why we're celebrating. It is, I was thinking yesterday and last night, yesterday I was writing some things down and I thought of this. I guess it's correct. At least in my mind, it's the biggest celebration of the year. I think it is, and you may agree. Food, parties, gifts, special programs at school and at church. We're celebrating, brethren. So some of us collectively, people, may celebrate just for the sake of celebrating. But I hope that's not us. I hope that's not us in particular. The event we celebrate is I'm going to call it right now, brethren, the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. I want you to think with me about some doctrinal things, some things about God, Jesus, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was thinking about it in the last couple of days as I was writing out my notes to try to preach to you this morning. Jesus, it's the birth of Jesus we celebrate. And Jesus is, of course, one of the parts of the Godhead. God, listen to this statement, brethren, and just ponder it with me. God cannot be born. Think about that a minute. Can He be born? Was He ever born? He's eternal, isn't He? He's always been. Jesus, brethren, is God. He's a part of the three-in-one God. Can then we say we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Well, then can God be born? Just think, these are rhetorical questions for you and me to meditate on, to help us in this season. God can't be born. Why? Because He's always been. And He is now and ever will be. Let me give you some verses to ponder, brethren, about this issue about God being born. And I don't want to steal your joy over Christmas. I'm not trying to do that. That's not my point. It's to help us all, help me, help you to think about it, to try to better understand what God has done here. All right, I make the statement, God can't be born. But we're this season celebrating the birth of Jesus. Think about it with me. Stay with me. Here's my proof to you. God can't be born. In the beginning, God. That's Genesis 1:1. Moses wrote that first book of the Bible, and he says, in the beginning, God. In other words, God was around, brethren, in the beginning. He was already here. When Moses starts describing the creation of the way I term it, everything that I see and know about, when Moses starts describing that, when he starts to describe it in the order that it was done, he says, in the beginning, God. Well, God, you see, was there and God was behind all that. So God already existed. This is my argument to you that God can't be born. Secondly, John 1:1, that was Genesis 1:1. Secondly, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, He was already around. He was already the Word. That's God the Son. I think Genesis 1:1 is primarily talking about God the Father. John 1:1 is talking about God the Son. In the beginning was already was the Word. I'll say one more time to you the statement I've said to you many times before, made by Matthew Henry in his commentary. He says, the one that was in the beginning never began. You remember? I love that statement. It's a doctrinal statement. It's not a scripture verse, but it's out of scripture. The one that was in the beginning, he never began. And then the third part of the Godhead, God the Spirit, Genesis 1:2 says this, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's before the earth was, it was void and without form, but there was water there created by God, and the Spirit of God was there, moving. So it was there. So God, there are some verses that I propose to you say that God can't be born. But brethren, if God can't be born, what's all this celebration about? The birth of Jesus, right? The birth of Jesus. Ride through downtown in our city and you see manger scene after manger scene. Jan and I, we like to ride up and down and see what different organizations and churches have put up there in the medians of the main streets there downtown. By the way, I didn't know churches and clubs were doing that. I don't read the paper. I should. I need to. But maybe we could do that next year. Do something like that. Put up a display, telling all, one and all, that we know Jesus and we love Him and we want you to know Him too. Think about it. We've got a year, but think about it. We're celebrating, brethren, His birth. Now, but I just said God can't be born. Help, just think with me, brethren. Think about it. Doctors deliver babies, don't they? There's a verse also in Isaiah that says something like, a child is born unto you, and a son is given. In the last couple of days or 3 days, I've been thinking more about really Jesus as a delivery to us. He's come. The coming of the Christ child. The coming of the just one. Because He already existed. But arguably, brethren, He was born also. Born is the King of Israel. He was born of the Virgin Mary. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She gave birth to Him. God inhabits eternity. No beginning, no ending. God inhabits eternity. Jesus is God. You and I, right now, we inhabit the time world. Time. Every Sunday when I click this off, when the sermon is over, I look to see how long I stood here before you. I'm not able to look at it right now. The screen's black and I never know exactly what time it is. I just preach until I feel like I'm kind of through. And it's usually 28 minutes to 34, 37 minutes. I got on a spree several months ago of going about 40 minutes and I didn't need to do that, but I just need to preach until I'm through. But what I'm trying to say is, you and I are very conscious most of the time of time. Day, night, week, month, year. We measure time by those things. God doesn't worry about time. He inhabits eternity. And what God did, brethren, was He I've used this expression before to you because I heard it once. I didn't coin it. I heard a man say, God stepped out of eternity and into time. I like that. It's a way of saying, brethren, that God in the person of Jesus, came into our time world. And it says here, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? Three words. God with us. God with us. That, brethren, is a mouthful, isn't it? God, the God of the universe, the only one true and living God, Him, brethren, with us. Okay? God came, brethren. Well, let me hear some verses. We celebrate what we call His birth, which in a sense is, it says He'll bring forth a child. He was born. He was delivered. He came. I like to think of it in these lately. I've been thinking of it as this: when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. You see, He was already around. He was already in existence. He was already there in eternity. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent Him. He sent Him to us. And He stepped out of eternity and into time. God sent, Jesus came in time. How did He do that? In the form of a baby. Babies that you and I see, they have a beginning. We had a praise a little while ago about Sister Rebecca. She's conceived. And God willing, in a few months she'll bring forth a child. And we'll see that baby, God willing. And we know the mother, we know the father. The union of a mother and father produces a baby. That baby that we talk about in the praise, that baby had a start just a little while ago. I don't know, a few weeks ago. But the baby, brethren, whose birth we celebrate has always been. He's always been. But He came into our world as a baby. Let me give you some thoughts on that. He came as a baby. That wonderful book of Hebrews we've been studying, brethren. I'm going to give you a verse in just a second. You'll remember it from Hebrews. He took on a body. Remember those words, took on. You remember them from Hebrews? He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He became like them, a fleshly body. God, brethren, is a spirit. Jesus said that. God is the spirit. And they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. But on an occasion about 2,000 years ago, brethren, He took on a body. He took on a body. I remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, I was here before you, and I titled the lesson, God in a Body. I love to think about that. God in a body. He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He was made like His brethren. He wasn't anywhere, and all of a sudden He was made. No, He was already in existence, but He was made like unto His brethren. He changed a form, if you will. He was made like His brethren. It behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. That's Hebrews 2:16 and 17. Some of those words I was just giving you is from the second chapter of Hebrews, verses 16 and 17. It behooved Him, Jesus, to be made like unto His brethren. Ah, what beautiful language. What beautiful scriptures. How was that done, brethren? He came into the womb of Mary, the Virgin Mary. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. He was conceived, brethren, without the sexual act. No earthly father involved. The Virgin Mary had never had a child. She'd never had sexual intercourse before. That's a sign, brethren. That's an unusual thing, isn't it? I always said it's an oddity. It's unique. It's unique. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. And that, brethren, is one sign, one of many, of a special, special event. We celebrate the birth of that son. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Babies are celebrated, aren't they? They're showered with gifts, babies that you and I know about and that we see and we can hold. But this baby, brethren, we celebrate today. we buy gifts for one another in celebration of this baby, don't we? Have you bought any gifts yet? Jan and I are lamenting and fretting a little bit that we need to get busy about buying some gifts. But we buy gifts, brethren. You buy gifts. At least this is what I think. I buy gifts because, and I give them to loved ones. I do that because I love them and I want to give them something. But it's also, brethren, I don't do it throughout the year. Usually I do it this time of year, and I do it this time of year, brethren, to show celebration of God's love and the baby that came. And I can't, in a sense, give him the gift wrapped in wrapping and ribbon, but I can give it to you. I can give it to my child. I can give it. And so I just want to do it in celebration. We celebrate. We buy gifts for one another. We party. We feast. There was a celebration, brethren, at his birth. We still celebrate it. But let me describe, brethren, some of the celebration around the coming. I'm going to call it his birth because it was a physical birth. But don't forget, brethren, that he way in eternity past, he's always been. But he came in the form of a baby. And we celebrate that. When he arrived, brethren, angels celebrated his birth. I can't think of the phrase now, the phrases that we sang this morning, but there was some description in a song or two that we sung about those angels that celebrated his birth. That's in Luke, I think it's chapter 2. You can read about it. When he arrived, angels celebrated his birth. Angels did. That ought to have been a sign, hadn't it? I have three children, and I jumped for joy when every one of them was born, and I celebrated, but I didn't see any angels up in the sky singing. I mean, if I could have got up there, I would have probably, but I was happy. But I'm talking about that baby, brethren. Here's another thing I thought about, brethren. Total strangers celebrated this birth. Now, Sister Susanna, if I happen to be around and when Rebecca has this next baby, God willing, if you tell me about it or if I'm there, I'll hug your neck and I'll celebrate because I know her and I love her. But a total stranger that has a baby, I'll say, well, good for you. But that's about it. But total strangers came and celebrated this baby. They were shepherds watching their flock by night. I think one of the songs we sang this morning mentioned that. This angel appeared to them. One of those many angels that the heavens were full of, one of them came to these shepherds and said, hey, he said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I've got good news for you. And then the angel told them about the birth of that baby, and those shepherds celebrated. They took off. They said, let's go find him. Let's go see him. And they celebrated. They did not know the family, yet they celebrated this baby's birth. Another one that celebrated, and there are many, but another one is one of my favorites, and I think I've preached to you about him before. A man, I almost said an old man. I think he was an elderly man. I think he was, but he might not have been. But he was named Simeon. He was waiting to see the baby. He did not know the mom and daddy. But you know what? When the mom and daddy, the mama and Joseph, Mary and Joseph, came into the temple to do for the child what the law required, because they were still under the law at that time, that law we've been studying in Hebrews, when they brought him in to do for him according to the law, God said to this man, Simeon, there he is. That's him. That's my words. Simeon was waiting for that baby. Total stranger to the family. Didn't know him, but God pointed him out. And you know what? He took the baby. He took the baby from the mama. I've preached about that before, and I've often thought, I wonder what that mama thought when that fella came, the total stranger came up, takes that baby out of her arms and holds him up to God and starts rejoicing to God and says, now, Lord, I'm ready to die. No fear whatsoever. We studied, Brother Ralph, didn't we, this morning in Bible study. We spent 30, 45 minutes studying about death. How can I face death? In a nutshell, this is how you do it. You hold the baby. You hold on to the baby. You hold on to Jesus. Because Simeon said, brethren, now, Lord, I can die in peace because I have seen the baby. And that baby, brethren, equals salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm ready to die. Some others outside the family that celebrated. Get this. I looked up this morning. I put in a question. How far did the wise men travel? I didn't know. Do you know? Well, short answer, nobody knows exactly. But the experts say between 400 and 700 miles to see a baby. They don't even know the family, but they know something about the baby. Apparently, the best guess is around 400 miles. They came to see the baby. They came to celebrate the baby, brethren. Why do these people celebrate the baby? Why do I stand before you today? Why do we have red flowers right here? Why did I search around for a red and I got a little green in my tie? Many of y'all have on red today? Why do we have food baskets back there? Why do we sing four hymns that all dealt with the birth of the baby? Why do we do that? Here's why. Here's the answer. And it comes from the angel. Well, here's one answer, but here's a good one. This is what the angel said about the baby. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, brethren, it doesn't get any better than that I can think of right now. Unto you. I think that's a personal pronoun. I think that's the part of speech, the word you. Into you is born a Savior. He's here. The baby's come. The baby's come. When I was a boy, the grown-ups said, the baby came. That's the way they said it a lot of times. The baby came. The baby's been delivered. Brethren, the baby, the God who's always been forever, He's come. He's come to us. Unto you is born a Savior. Our Savior has come. Savior, I love that word. He's come to save. An angel came to Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband, and said, the baby's coming. Joseph was upset. He was worried. He's probably mad. Feelings hurt because his fiance, it was actually stronger than that. They would get betrothed. They would agree to become married, and then about a year would pass, and then they would have a party and they would consummate the marriage. But before that, they didn't live together. They didn't have sex. They didn't live together. And during that year's time, brethren, Mary conceived. And Joseph found out about it, and he was upset. But an angel of God came and said, Joseph, don't be upset. These are my words. Go ahead and marry her. It's okay. Because the baby she has is from God. Not from a man. It's from God. The baby is God. And you call him Jesus, which means save or Savior. Because, Joseph, you call him that. You name him Jesus because he shall save. He's come to save. He's coming to save his people from their sins. He shall save, brethren. He has saved. Saved. I love that word. Sometimes people will ask you, are you saved? Brother Ralph told us this morning that a woman came up to him the other day in the store and said, do you know Jesus? He does. That's because Brother Ralph is saved. It's because Jesus has saved him. And if you know him, brethren, it's because he saved you from your sins. That's what makes him, brethren. That's what made the wise men so happy. It's what made Simeon so happy. What made the shepherds so happy that they're going to be saved. They couldn't save themselves, and they knew they needed saving. Because they knew, brethren, what Paul knows, and he wrote it down in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, all everyone. Simeon knew he was a sinner and he needed saving. The shepherds knew the same. The wise men knew the same. That's why they're so happy to see the baby. Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I've seen the Savior. God, I've seen salvation now. I've held him in my arms, actually. Oh boy, he was blessed, wasn't he? I like to hold babies. I want to hold them. When I come in the house and there's a baby there, I'm gonna hold them. I think I told you this. I used to be a judge in my secular job. I did adoptions, and a lot of adoptions, there were little babies being adopted. And I told everybody that came in right off the bat, the judge gets to hold the baby. I hold the baby. That was my rule. I get to hold the baby while we're doing this. And I'd hold the baby and I'd say, "Okay, y'all go ahead. I'll just hold the baby." And then I'd listen and make sure they ask all the right questions and told me all the right stuff. Then I'd have to give them back the baby after it was over. Old Simeon got to hold, brethren, not just the baby, but he got to hold his Savior in his arms. Savior saves. We celebrate, brethren. We're celebrating now because we know we're sinners and we know our sins have been forgiven, that we have a Savior. He's ours. Sin came when Adam sinned. Adam sinned. We fell with Adam. Paul, that same apostle, says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, "In Adam all die." We inherited Adam's sin. And additionally, we sin. We sin. All have sinned. The wages of sin, brethren, is death. That's what makes the Savior so special, because He brings life. I am come that they might have life. That's why the baby came, brethren, that you and I might have life. I want to close with this, brethren. I got this scripture today. I told you that my fellow minister friends on Sunday morning, we text one another to encourage one another and pray for one another. And here's a verse that came through this morning from one of the I was through. I had all my notes written out and I was through. Had closed my Bible. And then I read the text from Brother Craig Campbell. And this is the verse that he pointed out. So, and it fits perfectly with what I've been talking to you about this morning. Listen to this. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Who's that talking about? Jesus. Nobody else. He came, brethren, in fashion of a man. And at the end of about 33 years, after he came in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, brethren, in the scheme of things, and when you think about doctrine and what Christ did for us, really, the death and resurrection is more glorious than the birth. But we'll talk about that in April or May more. Right now, I just want to celebrate, brethren, His coming. His birth, if you will, but certainly His coming. Don't lose sight, brethren, of what we're celebrating this season. I think there are two more Sundays before the 25th gets here, on the calendar at least, unless He comes back before then, which I right now would certainly welcome that. Because I feel very, very close to Him. Usually I kind of dread it, to tell you the truth. But right now, I would love to see it happen. But that's all in His time. In His time. So if He doesn't come between now and the 25th, brethren, don't forget what you're celebrating. The coming of the Just One. And just don't lose sight of it. Oh Lord God, thank You for coming. Thank You for, in the fullness of time, You sent Your Son. We thank you, Father, for sending him. We're thankful that he came because he saved us from our sins. Oh, Lord God, in this season when the earthly lights are so bright and there are get-togethers and there's this and that and the other to distract us, well, help us, the ones he came to save, help us to set our affection on him, to think about him, to not lose sight of him, and to think more of him, to study the scriptures, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Bless us to do that this season, that we might have a more blessed season of the celebration of his coming than ever we have before. I thank you, Father, that the people here love that fact that he came so much that they're willing to demonstrate it. They're willing to give gifts to others. They're willing to bring food and resources, financial, into the storehouse that we might give to others to show the love of Christ. May we keep it up. Show us opportunities for service, Lord. Bless us that we might honor and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.